My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford. He is a freshman in the U.S. Senate, but had served in the U.S. House of Representatives before that. On Monday, the United States Senate unanimously approved his amendment to a major trade legislation that would require the government to consider religious freedom when it comes to negotiating trade deals. And, Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you and be able to talk about it.
92-0 in this vote. It seems like the last time human rights and religious freedom seemed to come up in trade negotiations were back in the 90s when we were debating what was known as then most favored nation status with China.
Right.
It kind of went on the back burner for quite a while. Why do you believe it's time to bring this back, and how do you think you got all your colleagues on board here?
You know what? This was actually a two-year battle behind the scenes to be able to get this on board. This was no simple thing, as most things are. It looks at the end, everybody's 92-0 at the end of it, and you think, gosh, that was simple. But realize this was a very long process to try to get this done. The reason that we have this is we're doing a trade agreement and conversations with the Asian Pacific, and we have countries like Vietnam in the mix. We cannot, for the sake of a dollar in our trade, turn aside from hundreds of prisoners of conscience that are in Vietnam and a lot of problems that are happening there with human rights and basic religious freedoms. If we're going to export something, let's start by exporting our liberties.
What do you actually require the government to consider? Does it simply have to be a factor? And if they decide the trade deal's really good despite human rights and religious freedom atrocities, well, that's just the decision they'll make? Or do they have to kind of calculate it in some way?
Nope, it is part of the normal trade agreement and the negotiating terms of the agreement. So they have to bring it up and be a part of the conversation to talk about human rights and religious freedom specifically in this area. And then to have that conversation with Vietnam, they were what's listed as a country of particular concern, which is as a particular heading dealing with the religious liberties. And so there's some restrictions based on that. That they had some improvement, and so they were removed from that list in 2007, and then they've gone right back to the same issues. This forces with Vietnam to have to deal with some of those issues again. And quite frankly, I believe when we begin to export our conversations and talk about trade issues around the world, when we actually begin to talk about liberties, we'll have better trading partners. If we have trading partners that have greater freedoms in their location, there'll be a more stable government, be a more open government, better with trade if they actually have an open, functioning conversation about faith and allow people to be able to live their own faith in their country rather than being an oppressive dictatorship.
Whether it's Vietnam or some other Asian country in this case that is fairly repressive to certainly minority religions, but in some cases all religions, what are some of the practices that you're most concerned about, whether it's in Vietnam or elsewhere?
Well, you talk about Vietnam. If you're going to be a religion in Vietnam, you have to come get permission from the government. They'll say, yes, we're an open society. You can worship any way you want to as long as you get permission from us first. So there is a real push to try to push the door open to say, allow people to be able to practice their faith, to not be afraid of it, to be able to speak out in their pulpits and in places so that they can actually speak freely in those situations. If they'll allow people to be able to practice their religion, they're going to find out it's going to open up their people much more than what they have currently. So that beginning with prisoners of conscience, pastors that are in prison, priests that are in prison right now simply because of their faith and the practice of their faith, let's make a part of our negotiation conversations about those individuals rather than just saying we'll allow people to be imprisoned for their faith as long as we can make a dollar in Vietnam. That's not our value.
We're talking with Oklahoma Senator James Lankford. And, Senator, I think most folks would agree that religious liberty is much more threatened in places like Vietnam than it is here. But the issue is coming up both in debates over same-sex marriage and so forth. So what other areas will you personally or do you think Congress ought to pursue in terms of religious liberty, either at home or abroad?
You know, you would think this is a settled issue in America since it's the very first of the First Amendment is the Congress shall make no law respecting the free exercise of religion. It's not just a matter of separation from church and state, which I hear so many people talk about, which is not a constitutional issue. That was actually a letter written later that they quote from there. But I understand that the separations, the protections in government, but that has moved now to actually trying to push people to not be able to practice their faith. The Constitution is very clear. It's the free exercise of religion. It's not just that you can have any faith you want, but you can't actually practice it. In America, we believe that every person is able to have their faith and practice their faith. And that we live in a society where whether you're Buddhist or Muslim or Christian or Jewish or Hindu or whatever it may be, you may have that faith and practice that faith and that be a protected right. That's essential. To say that you're free to worship but you're not free to practice your faith would be to say that you're free to think something, but you're not free to speak it. That's not what we have in America. We have freedom of speech, and we don't just have freedom of belief in America. We have freedom to exercise your religion in America.
Do you believe that it's adequately protected right now, or do you think Congress needs to do something in that area?
Oh, the Constitution adequately protects it. It's a matter of the judicial response to that and making it very, very clear that nothing has changed in America, that we should be able to freely exercise our own religion and be able to practice our faith without the threat of government stepping in and saying, no, you can't practice your faith there. So this will be litigated. It'll be often discussed in culture. Welcome to America. We do talk about issues like this freely and openly, and that's a good thing for us to be able to talk about hard issues freely and openly. But this doesn't require additional legislation. It requires us actually following the Constitution and what's very blunt and clear there.
Couple quick questions on trade before we let you go, sir. Right now we've got this interesting dynamic in Congress where it looks like the president and congressional Republicans are aligning on this particular issue while Democrats are more leery of it. Where do you in particular come down on issues like trade promotion authority and the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
You know, it's funny. It is an odd combination right now. The particular debate on trade promotion authority is a six-year agreement that will start whenever the House and the Senate both agree on it and the president signs it. Once they start that, once we pass it between the House and the Senate and the president signs it, it's at least 6 to 9 months before a negotiation can be complete and an actual agreement can come back. So in all likelihood, this trade agreement wouldn't be complete until the next president. So really, we're lining up at the end of this presidency authority that will extend the majority of it into the next presidency. I have a lot of folks that I've talked to about trade, and I always smile and say, you remember that document called the Declaration of Independence? One of the grievances that the colonists had with King George is that the King George inhibited our ability to trade around the world. We have been free traders as a nation since before we were even a nation. This has always been a big deal to us. I believe the American worker and the American product can solve a lot of the issues and can beat the competition around the world if we get a level playing field.
Last question, sir, and I know you've got to run. One of the concerns really on both sides, even from some folks who support the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is the secretive nature that you and other lawmakers are not really allowed to talk about some of the details publicly and so forth. What do you make of the process on that?
Yeah, the process is a normal process of any negotiation. If you were to do a legal negotiation between two people in a city and they're trying to sit down and work out a legal negotiation, that's not public. That's the two of them trying to negotiate that out. Once it's done, they finalize it. It's all very, very public. The way this is set up, the 12 nations are negotiating. It is a closed process while they negotiate and talk through the different details. Once the 12 nations come to an agreement based on the requirements that Congress actually sets, once those requirements are fulfilled that Congress sets and the 12 nations have determined it, then it is a public document before Congress votes on it. So there'll be a lot of time that it's a public document before Congress does the final vote. There are some people that believe fast track means that we just say, go make an agreement, and the president makes an agreement, and Congress never sees it again. That's not true. We give the parameters during the Trade Promotion Authority. The White House goes and finalizes all the negotiations. Once those negotiations are done, it's public, and then everyone sees it, and Congress has one more shot to be able to vote on it, yes or no. The last time this came up, it was over 5 years after the negotiations were done before the actual agreement was actually voted on by Congress. So the term fast track is fast only in the government sense of fast.
Senator, I know you've got to run. Thank you, sir, for your time today very much.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.